Wherever you are in the world, thank you for tuning in to this episode of The Badminton Podcast, a community for badminton players, by badminton players, proudly brought to you by Velan. We talk all things badminton and aim to inspire you to be better in your game and in life by celebrating the people and stories of our global badminton community, whether they be past or present professional players, social players, officials or fans.
We're your hosts, Jeff and Henry, and we love badminton. From the bottom of our hearts, we'd just like to say thank you to everyone who has listened to, shared, and been part of the podcast. It wouldn't be possible without you all. If you do enjoy our episodes and can spare just a couple of dollars each month, you can really help keep the podcast going by supporting us on Patreon. Just visit www.patreon.com/thebadmintonpodcast. We'll leave the link in the description. So joining us today on the podcast is Aaron and Gladys Hall. They are siblings, each based in Australia, Brisbane and Singapore respectively. For Aaron, he is a registered pharmacist in Brisbane pursuing his pharmaceutical interests, while Gladys works at a bulge bracket investment bank doing sales and trading, primarily handling activities in the primary and secondary markets, essentially what is known as the stock market. Together, they have created AG Badminton, based in Brisbane, a coaching group consisting of private coaching who have played at a professional and semi-professional level competitions. They are passionate about helping the badminton community grow and bringing out the three main essences of every badminton player: speed, precision, and strength.
I think if there's just one thing I'll tell anyone in terms of like life or like even just the students in AG is basically feel confident. Be confident in making the mistakes. Be confident in failing. People always have this negative thinking about failing. Failing is actually a sign of improvement. It's literally a sign of improvement. The more you fail, pretty much the more experience you actually have. I mean, of course, with proper implementation of your reflection and your thought process. But yeah, don't be afraid to fail.
I agree to what Aaron said, but you know, don't be afraid to try, don't be afraid to fail, but make sure you feel better each time.
Aaron and Gladys, welcome onto the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff and Henry.
Thanks, Jeff and Henry.
So let's get right into it. So we always want to hear about how all of our guests start with their badminton story, being separated in Australia and Singapore as well. How did you both come in contact with the sport and grow your love for badminton?
I think I'll take this question. Since teen, me and Aaron, sports was just a common interest between us. You know, guys and girls, there's nothing much in common. So, you know, both of us just got into sports together and we engaged in a lot of sports challenges together while in Singapore. But when Aaron went over to Australia, he was looking for badminton trainings, but there weren't many. So it actually led to the birth of AG. Yeah, and as it signifies, AG is the initial of our name, Aaron and Gladys. Yeah.
Yeah, awesome. How about from your perspective, Aaron?
So I'll just like share a little bit on like how I end up in badminton actually. Honestly, I was never a badminton player from the start. I actually started off playing volleyball instead. I went on to play for like my high school and I actually made it into like the youth team before actually leaving the youth team for badminton. I've always wanted to learn badminton ever since I was really, really young, but I was never given the opportunity to do so back in Singapore. So I had this like turning point of like after the inter-school, inter-university competition in Singapore. Once I finished it, I actually decided like, all right, I'm going to have to start badminton. And I actually left the volleyball scene and went straight into training. That was when I was about 16 years old, 15 or 16 years old. So I've been going on badminton ever since, helping out my coach back there. He was an amazing coach. Yeah, he was like a technical coach and taught me literally almost everything that I know now. And then I just brought that, his passion over to Brisbane. Therefore, I decided to start AG.
Fantastic. So When you talked about volleyball and you said you didn't have the opportunity to play badminton, what was the reason why you really wanted to play badminton when you were playing volleyball? Was it that there were really good role models in Singapore at the time? Did you look up to someone or did your friends play? Or what was the reason why you really always wanted to play badminton?
So in Singapore, badminton has always been like the one of the really, really common sport. Like badminton courts are pretty much everywhere. Volleyball, not so much. I've always been growing up seeing people play badminton. I played a couple of times myself, never actually really went on to like formal training. And ever since, I've always told my parents, like, I want to learn badminton. But it was actually wasn't offered in my school. It was a surprise to me, so I didn't have a choice. Either they pay for the training, I train, or I take up the free co-curriculum lessons in school. So obviously my parents would be like, why don't you just go to the school?
Just do
curriculum. Yeah, just do the free one. Yeah. I mean, I didn't do too badly in volleyball, but yeah, I've always wanted to like learn the sport. I guess the love for the sport, the passion for the sport grew when I actually started learning it. That's when it actually really opened up my eyes on like what this sport actually is. Yeah, that's where it comes from.
I think I just like to add a bit. I think it's because like in Singapore, there's this stigma of like, you know, sports is not very well known. Like we don't live off sports for a living. So parents here are rather focused on education system, and which is why I work so hard and I'm here. But then, you know, Aaron decided to explore something more. So he went ahead with like AG badminton.
Yeah, fantastic. So I guess going back to not having the opportunity to play badminton and pursuing volleyball instead, Aaron, did you choose volleyball purely because it was available or because it had like a net and a court similar to badminton?
In terms of the net, that's probably the only common thing. And I mean, teamwork and stuff, but yeah, I didn't have much of a choice when I was in school. There wasn't much sports in school. Because Singapore, like any other country, they have their own sports schools. So people who are more well-versed in like sports stuff actually head on to that sporting schools rather than like other neighborhood schools that I've actually been to. So I wasn't given much opportunity to choose. Believe it or not, I was actually forced into volleyball. I was picked out from the crowd to actually enter the teams. Yeah, but they did that on like assessment on like physical tests and stuff. So I didn't have much choice back then.
Yeah, sure.
Scouted.
Yeah.
Scouted by the talent.
Athletic prowess.
Athletic. Okay, great. And then Gladys, for you, did you attend similar schools, same schools, and did you have the opportunity for badminton in school or did you play a different sport as well?
Yeah, so back then when both of us were really young, we attended like swimming and badminton lessons together. Back then, I was like just that little kid that who likes to munch on McDonald's nuggets, fries, you know. I was really in a really unhealthy lifestyle. But it was Aaron that brought me to this lesson. So I started, you know, have more emphasis on a healthy lifestyle. But it didn't really spark me to like start something off the sports. But I was rather trying to prioritize my career. So I did this as a side hustle with Aaron instead. So he will lead the whole team, but I run the back end of it. Yeah. So my main focus would more rather be on my career rather than be on sport. Yeah.
What was that conversation like? So I guess we're kind of going into AG badminton. And Gladys, you said initially when you first talked about badminton in your life, you were saying that Aaron moved to Brisbane and noticed there wasn't much badminton around. But I'm really curious to hear about the first interaction with you when Aaron called you or messaged you and said, hey, Gladys, let's start a badminton academy. Let's start doing this. Were you thinking, what? Why? Was it something that was completely random or had you spoken about it in the past before?
I think we actually spoke about it in the past before, you know, casually off as a joke, but it really started off something when Aaron decided to pursue it in Australia because there were many Asians there that didn't have this opportunity. They were facing the same problem as Aaron. So we thought like, why not? Yeah. So just build a community there and start this badminton community. So it was really random, also like surprised because it wasn't in our plans at all. Like Aaron go there to pursue her study, so we thought he would be like a full-time pharmacist. But now he branched into badminton, so it's something really surprising.
Pharmacy has become like my my part time.
Pharmacy is now your side hustle.
Yeah, I think it was never part of my plan on how much like AG has grown. Like, I mean, if you ask me like 2 years ago, would I ever think that where we are now? Like, I would probably say no. I'll never see myself running events. I'll never see myself running like a group of coaches doing trainings. I'm not one to like to do like lots heaps of like paperwork and managing things here and there. I like to focus on one thing and do one thing at a time. But I think like AG has just grown so much that I'm being forced to actually learn how to like run multiple things at the same time. And that's also when like COVID hit. So I couldn't let pharmacy go at that time. Yeah. So it's basically running on both sides at the same time.
Yeah. It sounds like what you ended up doing was a consequence of trying to solve a problem that you had when you first moved here.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
And you're almost at this, or maybe you are, or you already have been at a crossroad where you have to decide between what we call your side hustle now, pharmacy, or maybe Gladys in investment banking. Like, there's perhaps going to be a point where there is a conflict between what you have been brought up to believe as the pathway moving forward, not focusing on sport. Like you said, Gladys, maybe it's eating McDonald's or Nuggets or whatever it was at the time, but now it's AG. So I guess, how far away are you from that particular conflict, and how do you think you'll be able to manage it at the time?
Maybe Aaron, you can go first.
Yeah, I'll share my fair share on this. So in terms of like the growth of AG, it's been so quick and fast that there was a point where I was actually still working full time in the pharmacy, continuing pursuing like what I actually came here to study. And I realized that both sides were kind of like suffering. So I was thinking in my head, like when I was working in the pharmacy, was like, what's with this training of the students? Like, how can I make the training better? Like, are we actually meeting expectations? Are we seeing results from the students? And then like, when I was like coaching and stuff, like in my head, I was like, did I get that prescription?
Right.
And then, I mean, like, it's not happened, but, I could feel that I wasn't like being at my 100% when I'm at work. So I actually spoke to my mentors and the management of the pharmacy, and they actually supported me so much in my journey here. They actually made my shifts according to my badminton timetable. So I have the luxury of working on certain days where I know that I'm not actually involved in the court. Yeah. So a big decision, like I could potentially have lost the job, or I have to potentially have to choose to give up one and just go full on AG. But I think we are not far from actually going into one or the other. Like for AG, I'm actually doing like almost like 5 days a week. So I guess that's pretty much almost full time now. Yeah. And on top of like all the paperwork, I think it's taking up a lot of time. But I guess the satisfaction comes when you see your students start competing and, you know, they come to you. It's like, hey, I've done what you taught me. I finally understand what you've been saying for the past couple of months. And yeah, that's where the satisfaction comes from. Yeah, not too far away, I guess. Probably like, I guess another year. We'll probably see what happens in a year's time.
I think for me, I was really lucky that I just started in 2020. You know, back then, 2020, I was still studying. So I just started my career in the investment bank like just 6 months ago. Yeah, so back when I was still studying, I was able to juggle between AG and this. But after 2 years, AG kind of has some signs of stabilization. Although we are still receiving a lot of many new students, but I get really busy during either month end to operate the back end, or when events are here, I tend to dial in into their meetings, Zoom meetings for this event meetings. Yeah, so, you know, with my long hours, they try to accommodate to my timing. So usually we have meetings around like 10 p.m. VNE, 10 p.m. VNE or 12 p.m. VNE, because, you know, I end work really, really late here. So it's just still trying to strike a balance, because I start off work really early. So, you know, by the time I go into a meeting, I'm like, all right, guys, let's just get to the point. Don't go roundabout.
Yeah,
that's good. So I guess the biggest question for me is probably what all Asian children experience in terms of the fields that you've gone down, or pharmacy and investment banking? Like, you've probably made your parents very, very proud, so they can talk to their friends about it. But I guess, how did they feel about it? Because I guess from Asian background, it's something where your parents' opinions and what your parents grow basically bring you up to think and believe as a good career pathway is pretty set while you are still young. So they make that quite clear. But then you've kind of gone a little bit off the pathway. Gladys, not you so much because you're still in your pathway, but you're just adding a lot more. But Aaron, you've definitely changed a bit in terms of the hours you're spending on AG compared to pharmacy. How are your parents reacting? And was it difficult for you to start expressing what you wanted to do to them and getting them to understand?
I think in terms of getting the initial thumbs up was a bit dampening. In their perspective, it would be more of like, we kind of trust you. You kind of get that feeling like, we kind of trust you, you know what to do. But that's definitely not my first option for you. Like, you get that kind of thing. They'll say yes, but in their heart, it'll be yeah, that kind of stuff. But the thing is that we just keep them kind of like updated on like the highlights. We keep them in the loop, like the Instagram and stuff. So they kind of know we're actually doing something and it's actually growing. Yeah, I think they if you were to ask them out, they'd be like, you've done a great job. But if we were to ask them like back then when we first started, I think they in their head, they'll be like, are you actually sure? Not sure about what about other Asian parents, but I'm pretty sure they'll get a whooping first before they actually get the the agreement from their parents.
Yeah, I can imagine. If I were a parent, which I'm not, it'd be quite a scary thing for my children to say, okay, you have a stable full-time job as a pharmacist, something I can tell my friends about and have face, right? And then all of a sudden you're going to pursue this passion in badminton, which you started late as well, right? And of course, not just by yourself, with your sister. So it's a package deal when it goes to that tough conversation. So yeah, it would be nice to hear what your thoughts are as Gladys. Of course, yeah, as Jeff mentioned, you are quite early in your pathway and still very within that pathway. Are you anticipating a conversation with your parents at some point that will be very much to the tune of, so I'm going to join Aaron in Australia now. We're going to do AG badminton. See you. Is that on the cards? And how do you think that'll go down?
Okay, so do you have this thought that I'll be shifting over to Australia just to help out with Aaron? But my thought is that we'll see how it goes, how AG expand. Maybe if he needs more help, then maybe I'll be over. But as of now, I don't really see them at home. So they know that I'm really busy with both career and this badminton day. So all they see is like, oh, rest well. Just know what you're doing. I trust you. So go ahead. Like, I support you, I'm there for you, but yeah, just be well and take care. But I'm just curious about, what about both you and Henry? Like, you guys started off bowling as well, right?
Yeah, I guess it's a similar thing for me. I'll let Henry speak for himself in terms of dentistry, and I still practice a little bit of dentistry, but not so much. And obviously it was difficult for my parents to take on board. But at the end of the day, like, after being able to explain it, and then exactly what Aaron said, they see some progress, or they see you putting hard effort in. They know you're okay financially. You've got a roof on your head. You've got enough to eat and you're still doing quite well. Then I think they can relax a little bit and then let you do your thing and then trust you a little bit more. But I think the same for me, the initial conversation with them about me not doing so much dentistry, which is, yeah, in their book, a top shelf occupation to be doing. It was a difficult conversation for sure.
Yeah. My conversation was a little bit different. I think I'm very lucky that my parents, or the way that I would have described at the time when I left clinical practice, was I wasn't happy. And I think ultimately, if your parents can see that, you know, you are doing well, otherwise you have a stable income, whatever job you might be doing, and you're comfortable, I think that's the most important thing. You're not suffering, you're not in pain. Then they are comfortable. I don't know if they, similar to you, Aaron, like are they nodding their head and secretly crying inside or dying inside? I don't think that's the case for my parents. I think I'm very fortunate in that they were comfortable with me pulling the pin on my veterinary career. But that's, you know, I did move into something that was stable in itself as well, of course, while having Volant on the side. But yeah, I think my conversation was rather simple comparatively to everyone else.
I think it really, you know, we can end this sentence with just one sentence, like, actions really do speak louder than words. You know, it's really hard to, you know, kick off that initial conversation, but you know, when they see results, actions are there, and they see that you can provide yourself, actually, I think it all goes well from there.
Mm. Yeah. I think let's not just finish off with a sentence. I think if Gladys and Aaron, if your parents are listening to this podcast, what would you say to them? What would you like them to hear?
I think, I don't know. I'm just trying to imagine myself being a parent of my kid and like my kid just makes this decision. I think I would be probably secretly crying inside. Yeah. I would be lost for words. Yeah, it would be a huge jump. But like, I think ultimately I'll tell them like, you know, I'll do my best. I won't give up. Like whatever they've taught me from young is what I'll be putting into my entire career, whichever choice that I make. Yeah, I think I would just tell them thanks for all the trust and faith. And hopefully they're not still crying and still feeling really, really proud of where we are right now. Yeah.
You know, when they ask you like, oh, how are you doing recently? You know, usually I just say like, don't worry, just trust me. I know what I'm doing. But, you know, I think they are low-key crying inside.
Now, just a quick word from our sponsors. The Badminton Podcast is brought to you by Volant. Volant was first born out of our frustration with the confusing, bright and unsightly clothes and equipment that we saw in the badminton world. But now it's so much more than that. Our mission is to accelerate the growth of badminton by providing players with products that enhance their love for the sport. All in all, it's high quality gear that makes you look and feel great on and off the court. So make sure you check us out at volantbadminton.com and follow us on our socials at volantbadminton.
Okay, so you're talking about AG and what you've been able to achieve so far. So in terms of what you want to achieve, what is the goal and the vision behind AG? Because we know you created it because you had the problem where there wasn't much badminton in Brisbane, Aaron, where you are. But then when you started then compared to now, has the goal or the vision changed overall for AG?
So I think the goal and vision has still been the same ever since we started. Like the purpose on why AG was created is because we want to use badminton as like those badminton as a common interest. We want to be like a hub or like a community where people can actually find everything within hand's reach to make things a lot easier, to ease up people. So like we're really proud to have like Volant as one of our collaborative partners. When people ask me, I just said, look, we have this brand, Volant. Like I could tell them all the information all the way from trainings to where the courts are, social games, apparels, and even food. You know, like one of the things, like everything could be found here through AG. I think our vision here is really wanting to push badminton out, to raise the awareness of the sport and really make everyone understand what the sport actually is instead of just like hitting the shuttle back and forth over the net. It's a lot more complex, a lot more in-depth than just hitting a shuttlecock throughout the air. I think from the time that we start till now, there has been a significant increase in like badminton, and not just badminton, but also the number of events that's being held throughout the years. There's almost like 20% increase in terms of like the traffic of people actually going to halls, hiring courts just to play, and also like even the students as well, like getting in from training and the events that we're getting, like almost about 6 to 10 more a year compared to 2 years ago. Yeah, we can really see the growth in the sport. Whether or not it's because of AG that starts this ball rolling or not, I think it is an achievement still, and I'm really happy at how the growth of badminton is going here in Brisbane.
Yeah, it's almost like your vision is tied to all these things that you are seeing, right? That's happening in Queensland, the growth in the participation of the sport and in the participation of new members for AG Badminton. You can see that year-on-year growth. Now, whether it's entirely yourself, look, we'd like to say that for certain that it is AG Badminton that's helping to grow participation in Queensland, right? So it's really great to see that, yeah, you are, you know, people are signing up towards your vision and mission, and you do have collaborative partners. And it's glad to see that, yeah, we're so aligned in that Volant is, you know, our mission is to help people find, grow and share their love for badminton. So it's really great to see that we are both so aligned. Now, for those that have, I guess, signed up to your vision and have joined the AG Badminton crew, what are some of the words you would like to say to your students?
I think when it comes to like training and stuff, like as a coach, I would probably tell them that learning badminton, it's all about having patience and the determination, perseverance to actually keep doing the same thing over and over again. As boring as it may seem, repeating the same thing over and over again for like one session to even like 5 or 6 sessions, it really helps. It really helps. And when they see the results, they would think otherwise from what they were before. I think just like a couple of weeks ago, I was actually going through like the Volant's YouTube, and I actually saw this challenge that Jeff did, like the footwork challenge thing.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But
I think lockdown.
Yeah, you did it in lockdown.
Yeah, I actually watched the whole series, like the whole thing. Like, and I was actually like, people should watch that because you can see the difference, right? Like from the first video to the last video, where you change from your right hand to the left hand, and there is a huge difference there. It is really significant. And it's only an hour a week. And people, the first thing that students actually ask us is, how long would it take for me to get better? Like, this, I guess you guys probably get those kind of questions when people start learning from you guys. And this is usually one answer that I can't tell them. I can only tell them, like, look, consistency is key, right? Like, you need to be patient to build that skill. So I think, to all my students, like, just keep on training, whether it's just 1 hour a week, a couple of days a week, or even a couple of sessions a month. Consistency is probably the most important thing in training and, yeah, everything basically.
And do the footwork challenge.
And do the footwork challenge, yeah.
Watch the footwork challenge on YouTube and do it.
Yeah, watch the footwork challenge and they'll believe all this, what I'm saying.
Maybe we should have a teaching lesson for Jeff to do it for the AG kids.
Yeah.
Flying.
Jeff, you should. Yeah. You should do like a footwork challenge for the Brisbane people for them to see.
And that is from your point of view, I know that you have a different role. So Aaron is more front facing to the students and organizing, but then you're more back end. I guess you don't get to see as many of the community, the players. Obviously, you are heavily involved in your meetings with the AG staff. But from your perspective, like, what are you excited about for AG, even if you don't get to be on the ground at the moment?
I think at the moment, we are trying to improvise on our processes. So it's really about with me and the coaches together. And because I'm not front end, I don't know them personally, but usually I try to, you know, turn up for the meetings so I get to see them, you know, even on screen. Yeah, just a little bit of time screen, you know, just to let them feel my presence and I'll feel their presence. And yeah, I try to appreciate them in any other ways, like, you know, saying giving thanks to them. So recently, Aaron just came back. So I actually brought some stuff, like a whole bunch of stuff for them from Singapore, you know, so that, you know, they know, like, I'm here, I'm actually doing my stuff and, you know, working with them. Yeah. So I'm really excited to see how AG would pan out in the future, maybe in 1 or 2 years, because we are looking at expanding in terms of our booking system where things would become more seamless. So yeah, it's really exciting to see where AG is going. And yeah.
Yeah, awesome. Speaking of, I guess, what's coming soon and what to be excited about, I know, Aaron, you briefly talked about having to plan a lot of events recently. So what's coming up for AG?
So we're looking at a team event of five, hopefully, we're still working out the details on whether we want to do like a Sudirman Cup or like a Thomas Uber Cup kind of like format. Brisbane has always had this thing of competitions where they play to 31 points in one set. I'm not sure if that sounds surprising to you guys or...
Not surprising.
Not surprising. Yeah. Not surprising.
Yeah, as is 30 usually.
Yeah, as is 30 points for the graded, yeah.
Yeah, like I want to bring in the 21 three sets in like a team format. So everyone actually feels like it's like a competition. They actually understand. I would like to hear your opinion on like, what do you think of the difference of like 21 three sets and like one set of 30 points? I think taking that three sets away kind of like makes badminton a little bit less, it makes it more shallow. Like the depth of the game is kind of lost when it becomes like 30 points. What do you guys think about that?
I've only played to 30 points in one tournament ever, and it's, I didn't enjoy it ever. So from my perspective, I'm just not used to it either. So that's probably my bias towards the best of 3 to 21. But I would probably say that if in terms of Thomas Uber Cup format versus Sudirman Cup format, in my opinion, Sudirman Cup format is a lot more exciting just because it's got both male and female players. It's got a different event for every match, which makes it more interesting as well. And then I think it also just means that you don't need as many guys or girls in the team, right? So that because the inner Uber Cup or Thomas Cup, you need probably three singles, two doubles. So you need probably a minimum of 5 to 7 players to be able to do that. But you can have smaller teams for Sudirman Cup format just because there's less events. And then that means probably there's more teams in the competition. And I think the events are better when you play against more teams than if you play more kind of games against the same team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think from my perspective, I have played a number of 30-point tournaments. I feel that like the same as you, Aaron, is that you don't get as much depth. There's as a spectator watching the sport as well, when you don't have the three sets, it can become a bit of a landslide when you have, you know, a team that's or a pairing or a player that's leading by a certain number of points. It just becomes very one-sided. So there's no opportunity for the opposing players or player to come back in the game. And I think that the three sets is you're more replicating an actual competition so that you're actually preparing your players for that high level of play in the way that they should be playing it at that high level. And that might not be the types of players that are participating in the event, but I would keep that in mind as well. I think the benefit of a 30-point match from an event management standpoint is really just that timing thing. So yeah, when you go about planning it, it's important because a lot of the tournaments, at least at the recreational or sort of low competitive levels that I've entered before, timing or time management is a bit of a critical issue that we tend to see.
Yeah. Well, in terms of like the events, we're not intending to stop just right there with like the team events and stuff. We've got like a timeline that we want to do throughout. So we intend to do like a couple of team events throughout the year and a couple of individual events throughout the year, ranging all the way from like the A grades to the D grades and separate open events for the opens. I think we've created an AG events team solely just for organizing and running the events. So they'll definitely be doing all the like timelines, they'll be doing all like the logistics and stuff for that. I think we've previously worked a little bit with Activated Badminton Club in terms of running their events here in Brisbane. I say we were quite honored to be nominated by them to do the events here in Brisbane. Like, it could have been anyone, but yeah, I'm really happy to help out and actually run such a huge tournament for them here in Brisbane. I do hope that they would bring in more events in the future as well over here. Yeah, you've guys got really good prize money there. Just throwing out the
stuff. We've got on plate.
Yeah. So yeah, we're looking forward to running events, definitely.
I think maybe to add, like, from running all this competition, it really gives our student a clear view of where they stand. You know, like, you know, when they achieve something through the event, you know, they just come back to our coach and say, just thank you. And for me, that I, you know, I'm based in Singapore, when they send me such messages through Instagram, it really gives me the assurance that, okay, we are doing it the right way. Like, we're going in the right direction. Yeah, that's what we want to achieve at the end of the time. At the end of, you know, your time in AG training. Yeah.
It's great to hear how well AG is doing from the business level and, of course, the participation and the events and the members and people coming to training and improving, etc. But as Henry and I know, it's not always glamour. It's not always wins. It's not always positives. There's been plenty of times where Henry and I have been left stranded in some negative mindsets and some tough challenges ahead of us. So I'm really interested to hear, in terms of personally, what have you learned? What skills have you had to develop to get AG here? And were there any hard-learned lessons you had to go through?
Okay, maybe let me just start on this. Aaron and I are born leaders. So when we speak our mind, we get really straight to the point. But some people don't receive our feedback well, you know, because we are too direct. So over time, we actually try to change our communication style. You know, we try to be more uplifting and encouraging, so that, you know, people will be more positive towards our feedback. That's something that we have learned throughout the years.
How about you, Aaron?
And Aaron, any words of wisdom?
Well, I have got heaps of conflicts from the way I work. I'm really straightforward. When it comes into like business, I pretty much cut everything all short, like, and straightforward. Like, yeah, it's not really well received. I definitely learned a lot about phrasing my words well, learning how to actually effectively communicating to different peoples of different types or styles. Like, yeah, the way you speak to them, the way they perceive your message, it kind of rolls over and it may negatively affect us. One of which we have was when there was a lack of communication because of my personality. So one of our members couldn't actually actively give me feedback because they were afraid to raise that up as a concern. And they end up leaving the team because they felt that they couldn't really express themselves well. I think that gives me a realization that I actually should be focusing more on my coaches and my team members, taking care of them rather than based on how I actually feel that they're going. I think asking a simple word like, how are you? Or like, what have you been doing? I think simple questions like that really helps a lot in the long term, especially when we're running a business in our era. Yeah, I don't think we live in an era where people actually work solely just for the money anymore. People come and go, and it's more about the quality of life that they're going after. So if you pay more and place is bad, they would probably go in there, do a couple of shifts, and they'll probably leave right after. Yeah, I think my whole mindset in terms of like managing the whole AG has changed drastically when I came to realize that it's actually the quality of life. We've been working a lot on giving our coaches incentives and incentive to our students, and we're actually making up like a membership system to make them feel appreciated being in the AG community with us. Yeah.
I think in our AG community, we don't want to create like this hierarchy which the Asians always, you know, perceive. People always get to approach the bigger boss, in this case Aaron and I, and to give feedback. Yeah, we don't want to create that type of hierarchy, but rather a very, very flat hierarchy where we can communicate with each other easily.
Yeah, perfect. I think it's a pretty interesting observation that you've made there, Aaron, in that the generations of the past, be it, you know, our grandparents' generation, for example, their objective was survival. Then it came to our parents and it was the objective was standards of life. And now it's a sort of our generation, the younger generation, it's about quality of life. And so what people are after in their employment or in the things that they do is not just about what the ultimate, I guess, monetary benefit would be. It's, you know, what kind of culture am I going to be? Is it a safe environment? Am I actually going to enjoy what I'm doing? Is there passion to it? And I think with COVID in the last couple of years, that has forced a lot of people to reconnect with themselves and truly understand why they do what they do and what they are going to do with their time as well. So it's definitely a great observation that you've made there. And it's, as you've highlighted, for listeners, it's very important to have that open communication. And it's nice to hear that you've reflected on yourselves as you go through your journey, as Jeff and I do with ours. We continue to try and do what we do better and look for ways to improve on ourselves along that journey as well. Because nobody's perfect, where we all make mistakes, and there's always opportunity to improve. Now, we are coming to the end of the podcast, Aaron and Gladys. I hope you feel as short as it has for us, because it's been quite enjoyable to hear both of you talk about the AG Badminton story and your own personal development. But before we go, it would be great to, I think instead of asking for three pieces of take-home advice from both of you, I'm going to stick with one. For if you could share, one piece of wisdom or take-home advice, be it life, be it badminton, be it work, what would it be for the both of you?
I think if there's just one thing I'll tell anyone in terms of like life or like even just the students in AG is basically feel confident. Be confident in making the mistakes. Be confident in failing. People always have this negative thinking about failing. Failing is actually a sign of improvement. It's literally a sign of improvement. The more you fail, pretty much the more experience you actually have. I mean, of course, with proper implementation of your reflection and your thought process. But yeah, don't be afraid to fail.
I agree to what Aaron said, but don't be afraid to try. Don't be afraid to fail, but make sure you feel better each time. Yeah.
We've failed many times, Henry.
Yeah. I don't think we've failed gloriously for years.
We've failed many times. But okay, so Aaron and Gladys, if there's anyone out there listening who is in Brisbane or is moving to Brisbane and wants to get in contact with AG and wants to be involved in community or improve in badminton or find out where the best places to eat are, because you said that you covered that as well, make sure that everyone knows where to eat. How do they get in contact with AG Badminton?
Is there a, subscribe for YouTube button?
We can definitely put the links in the podcast description. So feel free to send those through to us, but you can maybe just spell it out for maybe someone listening in the car or who can't access the description right away.
So you guys can find us at our Instagram, AG_badminton, or you can contact us through Facebook. Yep. So these are the two modes of communication that we usually do.
Great. So we'll pop that in the description below for all you listeners. And look, we really enjoyed, or thank you again for coming onto the podcast from Jeff and myself, as well as the listeners, Aaron and Gladys. We really enjoyed our time today.
Yes.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
So from Henry and I at the Badminton Podcast, thanks for tuning in to this episode. If you've enjoyed it or found it useful, be sure to share it with your family, friends, teammates, and someone outside your badminton circle too, because with your help, we can show the world how incredible badminton is.
To keep up to date with new episodes and who we're interviewing next, make sure you connect with us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at The Badminton Podcast, and on Twitter at The Badminton Pod. Feel free to contact us and ask any questions, give us feedback, or request topics for future episodes. We love hearing from you. And remember to check out and shop for your simple and minimalist badminton gear at volantwear.com. Catch you on the next episode.
Bye. Bye.